بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن، قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما، قال ومن ذريتي، قال لا ينال عهد الظالمين. وإذ جعلنا البيت مثابة للناس وأمنا، واتخذوا من مقام إبراهيم مصلى، وعهدنا إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل أن طهرا بيتي للطائفين والعاكفين والركع السجود. صدق الله العلي العظيم. My dear respected brothers and elders, mothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, it is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us from the human race. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ennobled us with something called rationality and understanding. Because if we don't have that, then we don't have the ability to appreciate all the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. The true difference between a Muslim and someone who is not a Muslim, you know, when it comes to the core, is that, let's start from the opposite, right? You define things by the opposites. What is the meaning of kufr? Kafara, kufr. Say kafir. What is the meaning of it? Kufr means to be ungrateful. To be what? Ungrateful. To be thankless. And the opposite of a kafir is what? A Muslim. So what should it be? Someone who submits. Submits to such a point that he is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every single thing. And most importantly, you know, as a Muslim, we should appreciate this. See, when we go in sajda, right? When you go in sajda, they say you are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason being, they say when you go in sajda, your frontal lobe, right? Where all the activity in your mind is happening, all the thought processes are happening in your brain, you are submitting that in front of Allah jalla jalaluhu, amma nawaluhu. And you're saying that, oh Allah, I'm going to do sami'na wa ata'na. I'm going to listen to you and obey to whatever you tell me to do. This is what it means to submit, to be a Muslim. A Muslim means what? The one who submits to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in each and every aspect of his or her life. That is what it means to be a Muslim in its true sense. Right. Now, subhanAllah, many of us, including myself, we have been reduced to what we call cultural Islam. What we call Islam that we just have from, you know, the remnants of our forefathers, or the Islam that is pop culture, or what is trendy. That is the Islam that we follow, unfortunately. But that is not what it means. Islam truly means to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect of your life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that tawfiq and ability, inshallah. Say ameen. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said, made us the best of his creation by giving us rationality, by giving us the ability to use this brain that we have in ways we can manipulate and control every other thing that seems superior or stronger than us in every other aspect. You look at animals. Many, if not all animals, are much more stronger and resilient than human beings in their bodies and their forms. You look at trees, how resilient they are. They don't need the kind of shade and the kind of housing and the kind of, you know, they stand tall and they stand strong through tornadoes and storms and hurricanes and whatnot. Even forest fires, they're standing tall, right? And then you look at, you know, even if you look at insects, I was reading about the ladybug. They say that the amount of, you know, antibiotics and the way it treats diseases, human beings had that, they would never get sick. I mean, just unfathomable. If you look at outside what we, you know, have the human bubble, in the other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're supposed to, by the way, we're supposed to, as Muslim, we're supposed to look into the khalqullah ta'ala, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has created, perfected, right? And showed us His magnificence, His beauty and His creativity in all of that that is around us, that we don't appreciate. So it's very, very important for us to look around and, you know, and appreciate the khalqullah ta'ala that is around us. So as I was saying, going back to the point, that everything around us, you look, you know, in terms of the periodic table, you look in terms of animal kingdom, you look in terms of the kingdom of the sea, you look in terms of the, you know, the kingdom of plants or whatever you call it, there are so many amazing things that they have that human beings don't. We just don't. Somebody will sneeze next to you, and next thing what? You're also sick, right? We can't even protect ourselves from a sneeze. I mean, that's how weak we are, that we, you know, a bacteria or a virus that we don't see can take us down within, you know, can bring the whole nations to their knees. So now we have to think about, what makes human beings better then? What is that gives us superiority over everything else? The thing that gives us superiority, as I mentioned in the beginning, is the ability to rationalize. Bodily, we are weak. Physically, we are weak. In, you know, if human beings have the ability in something, that is intellectually. And the intellect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is to learn. Is to what? To learn. What was the first revelation that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Iqra. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the beginning of revelation that was sent down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is telling you and me through the Prophet ﷺ that the path which can take us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the path of knowledge. The path of knowledge. Because there's nothing other than knowledge which can take you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing else. And knowledge which doesn't take you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not knowledge. The true definition of ilm in the Quran and the Sunnah is ilm is that thing, that knowledge which takes you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be it ilm of anything. You're learning mathematics. It depends on how you're learning it. What is your approach? What is your lens through which you're approaching it? There were Muslim mathematicians which learned math and trigonometry, and they perfected it. And one of the main reasons they did that was to find the Qibla, subhanAllah. If you go and look at the astrolabes that were developed by the Muslim mathematicians and people who developed the early astrolabes, they developed it to do what? To find the Qibla, subhanAllah. On their journeys and on their ships and on their travels. So is that taking them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes, it is. So it is the approach that matters the most. Unfortunately, today our approach to everything, from the time we get up to the time we sleep, is all about materialism. all about materialism. How can I eat to live? And how can I live to eat? That's what it's all about. It's just a rat race. So what's the difference then? What's the difference between an animal which is also eating to live and living to eat, and you and me, who have the superior intellect and rationality to perceive and dissect and understand things and control things and manipulate things for their own benefit? What's the reason? So there's no reason for having reasoning then. So we have to understand and appreciate. And as I said, appreciation means being a Muslim. Islam means what? To be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the in'amat and the blessings that Allah has given us. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us and reminding us that we have to pray 5 times a day? It is not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a ni'mah and a blessing of Allah that Allah has made it obligatory upon us to pray at least 5 times a day so that we can regulate our life around our salawat. So that Muslims should be the most regulated and organized and structured people in the world. Are we? Unfortunately, it's the very opposite of that. And then we complain. And then we say the doomsday is upon us. And the apocalypse is upon us. And what's going on? Why are things not changing? Why is Allah's Nusr not coming? How is it going to happen? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ Allah is not going to change a nation or a people until they change themselves. The change has to come from within. It cannot come from outwards. So it's extremely important. We look, it's not going to be easy, by the way. It's not going to be easy. Change is always difficult. And life is always difficult. For everyone. Not just for you and me. We're not marooned on an island complaining and saying that, well, we're marooned on an island called America, or marooned on an island in 2023 called the world, where Muslims are being persecuted. Well, hello, that's been the reality forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? And this is a very important reminder that I want all of us to think about. Because we're heading into what? Dhul Qa'dah. We're finishing Shawwal now, subhanallah. Ramadan was already a month ago. Subhanallah, a month has passed since Ramadan. It has become a thing of a past now. The spirituality that probably we had gained in Ramadan, that energy of goodness that we had probably gained in Ramadan, we already spent it out. Because we did not learn how to preserve that energy. And when you don't preserve energy, what happens? It fizzles out. It doesn't stay with you. It doesn't stay with anybody. So it fizzled out, it's gone. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for us time and again and gives us another opportunity. Now we have an opportunity in the form of Hajj, which is coming very soon. We're entering into Dhul Qa'dah and Dhul Hijjah, right? The Ayyamul Hajj, the days of Hajj. And in those days, what should we be thinking about? What is, we should think about every single day, you know, what do we learn from the Quran? And what was the message of Ramadan connecting to the Quran? Why do we connect to the Quran? Are all the stories in the Quran for Sunday school children? Are all the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, is it only for our children to learn and memorize and the adults don't have to do anything? Unfortunately, that's what we think. When it comes to learning the Quran or understanding the Quran or perfecting the Quran or memorizing the Quran, or whatever it has to do with the Quran or Islamic studies, subhanallah, it is for my children. I'm going to enroll my child in summer school or HIF school or whatever school. For me, it is too late. Is it also late for you to, you know, pursue your career? No, it's never late for that. It's never late for you to get a better house, to get a better car, to get a better position, to go forward in life. But why is it always late for us to move forward in the direction which will take us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Should never be late. Just a reminder, majority of the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in were adults. They were not children. Islam was sent first and foremost for who? The adults. The adults perfect themselves and fix themselves, then so will the children automatically. So we have to be the living example for them. It's extremely important for parents and adults and guardians that we make our kids hafiz, we make our kids, you know, muallim, or whatever we are doing with them, we should be the exemplars of that. We should read Quran every day. We should learn Quran also. I should also know how to read the Quran with perfection. I should also know what are the stories in the Quran. What is the importance of Dhul-Qa'dah and Dhul-Hijjah? What are these months for? What stories from the Quran are relevant with these months? Right? Going back to that, the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family is the most important story for this ummah to understand. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave utmost importance to Ibrahim alayhi salam and his footsteps. And this is the time where we should learn about his story, talk about his story, read about his story, about what Ibrahim alayhi salam had to go through. What was his seerah? What was the seerah of Ismail alayhi salam? What was the seerah of Hajar, a woman who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved her motherly act so much so that he made it an obligation for people who go for Hajj and Umrah? Subhanallah. So we have to think about this. This is the time, the next 2 months, indulge yourself in reading the Quran and understanding the seerah of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, Hajar, and their entire family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them during these days and months to build the Kaaba, to call the people from all over the globe till the day of judgment for Hajj. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said, is never going to be easy. Ibrahim alayhi salam, just look at the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah says, Inna Allah, right? Ibtala. Ibrahim alayhi salam was tested with the most amount of tests. With the most amount of tests. Wa idh ibtala Ibrahim rabbuhu bi kalimatin fa'atammahun. And he passed all of them. So it wasn't easy for him. It's never going to be easy, my brothers and sisters. But we cannot give up. Because life is not easy. Right? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us, protect us, inspire us, take us all to the straight path. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah gives us the tawfiq and ability as adults, as grown-up men and women, to learn about Islam, to practice Islam, and to propagate Islam, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the ability to not just push our children to learn the Quran and Sunnah, but also push ourselves to learn the Quran and Sunnah and practice upon it, inshallah ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Inshallah, we'll have a few minutes for Sunnah. Jazakumullah khairan.